Come on up. She's got so many titles, and I was going to say them all, but you'll get to know her. She's very qualified, let me just say that.
I'd just like to start out by saying, though, that my friends refer to me as the smartest dumb person they know. So, hold on tight. All right. So, Sally brought up her Bible. I'm actually going to bring up my stopwatch just to make sure that I don't, in fact, go over time, if I can turn my phone on. Okay, so I'm just going to kick this off. All right. So, first and foremost, thank you so much for having me. This is actually the biggest honour of my professional and personal life. I am really so very honoured to be here, and I don't take this lightly. When Catherine first asked me to do this, I was like, yeah, sure, no worries. It'll be like 20, 30 people, no dramas. Had lunch, breakfast with her yesterday morning. I'm like, oh, by the way, how many people are coming? Oh, 140. I'm like, oh. Right, okay, so good, okay. So that sort of, you know, changed my perspective a little bit. I was like, oh Lord, please don't let me say anything dumb. Please don't let me say anything dumb. I can't promise that, but you know when the dumbness comes out, that is me speaking, and God has probably stepped aside for a moment and gone, she's on her own here. All right. So I am an exercise physiologist and an exercise scientist. Pretty much that means I get paid to hurt you guys. That is my job, and I take a lot of pleasure in it, let me tell you. I'm also a nutritionist. I did my postgrad studies in nutrition through Deakin University, and I am about to embark on my PhD studies as of next year, but I'll talk about that a little bit later, because what I've realised now is that my journey actually began in 2003. So today actually started back, you know, nearly two decades ago, which is pretty cool. And what I know today is that my identity, who I am, has been under attack since I was really, really little. And it is something that I've had to work at for a very, very long time, and I've brought to God many, many times. And let me tell you, when you're praying for something, be really, really careful what you ask God for. You know, when I say, hey, Lord, I'd really like to be wise, He doesn't make you wise, which you're going to see in my testimony in just a moment, all the bad decisions I've made in my past, but it's brought me to here. And every now and then I'm like, oh, that's going to be part of my testimony too. But that's okay. You know, when you want humility, God doesn't just give that to you. He puts you in a situation where you have no choice but to be humble. I have eaten humble pie many, many times. When you want to be patient, He will make you patient. And I can remember one day, I can even remember where I was driving home, and I thought, gee, twins would be all right. And as soon as I thought, I was like, oop, no, I wasn't serious about that, God. Wasn't serious about that. No, actually, God was. I ended up with twins, and they're amazing. And then we had our fourth child 18 months later. So I had three children 18 months and under. And let me tell you, when you want to be praying for patience, be very careful, because He'll give you three kids in 18 months, and nothing teaches patience quite like sleep deprivation and three tiny little children. Anyway. So, you know, from a very early age, I recognised that I was different. And we all should recognise that, because God calls us to be set apart. But back then, I didn't like that. I didn't want to be different. I wanted to fit in. I didn't want to be in this big family. I didn't want to be the noisy Coburns, you know, which is really funny, because now I have four kids and we're the noisy family. So well played, God, that was good. You know, and I was really embarrassed by my family, and I was really embarrassed about being a Christian. And I just thought, oh, I just want to fit in. And I never felt it. I was always embarrassed, either about myself or about my family. And looking back now, I recognize that, you know, that was a direct attack on who I am, who I was, who I am. I hated my personality. I hated it. I didn't want to be that loud person. I didn't want to be that opinionated person. You know, going through high school, when the boys were wrong, I was very happy to tell them how they were wrong in dot point and in handwriting if they needed it as well. And, you know, teenage boys don't like to be corrected by teenage girls. And so I was often criticized for being that vocal person, for being that loud person. On every single one of my report cards from I was always, Naomi talks too much in class, she's easily distracted. So when my children get this on their report cards, it's really hard to be, you know, too angry, because I think, oh yeah, I know. But that was something that I really struggled with. I really struggled with the fact that I was this big personality, very opinionated. And so I went through school feeling like I was very unattractive, that there was something very wrong with me, I didn't have any confidence. And you might find that hard to believe right now, but I really did, and I don't actually really like having the spotlight on me. Again, you might also find that hard to believe. I much prefer to sort of sit in the background. So it's just an absolute testimony to who God is and what he's been doing in my life. But when I was in high school, I was a part of the leadership team at my church. And I decided at 18 years of age or 17 years of age or whatever it was, that, you know, clubbing seemed all right. I might just go and see what it's like and, you know, I'll be salt and light in a nightclub. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I decided that that was a good idea. You can start to see the wisdom issues starting to come through here. Anyway, so I approached my leadership and I just said to them, look, my heart's not in the right place. If I continue to be a leader, I am being a hypocrite. And I knew enough about the Bible and what God said about leaders and about the judgment that he has, you know, that expectation of leaders and how he will judge them more harshly. And I'm like, I may not be wise, but I don't want that judgment on me. Thank you very much. So I tried to get out of being the leader. And they pursued me for a little bit, a few phone calls. And I can remember I was at work and they rang me and I had to go and do a personal training session. And I'm trying to get off the phone with my youth leader. And I said, look, I'm really sorry, but my heart is in the wrong place. It is hypocritical of me to continue to be in this leadership position. I cannot continue. And I had to go, and that was the last time I ever spoke to him. My leadership then never spoke to me. There was no counselling. There was no, you know, I'd been a leader for a few years at that point, and I was pretty much deserted on my own. And when I would go to church, they would... It would almost, like the Red Sea parting. Here comes Naomi, you know. And so for me, there was a lot of hurt with that. And when you have someone who is wounded, who doesn't have good confidence, who thinks that there's something wrong with them, who desperately wants to fit in, very naive, and you let them out loose in the world, good things don't happen. And unfortunately, I got very involved with a group of friends who at the time I thought were the best. But, you know, we were all very heavily involved in partying. That was our thing. That's what bonded us together. We would all go out drinking. There was drugs, alcohol, sexual promiscuity, the whole kit and caboodle. And I thought at the time this was the best thing ever. I thought I was, you know, living my best life. Anyway, so let's just say, you know, a few years went by and I can remember talking to my mum and... The first scripture that I have talks about God restoring the years the locusts have taken. And you might think, oh, it's a bit of a strange scripture, Naomi. But it's really about, to me, I was talking to my mum and I just said, I just feel so ripped off. I feel like I have wasted 10 years of my life and I was heartbroken. I was heartbroken that I had gone and done the most stupid things ever. Which to this day I still carry scars from. You know, I have flashbacks to, you know, really devastating moments in my life and serious trauma. And it's not something to be taken lightly. Like, you know, if you've got kids, you really need to counsel them about this and tell them what is out there. Because if you walk into it, you know, unprepared, terrible, terrible things can happen. And it was really awful. And, you know, I was actually listening to a podcast. I don't know if anyone's heard of Chuck Missler. Love Chuck. Chuck is a real science sort of brain. I never know whether to say unfortunately or fortunately. He passed away last year. Is that good or bad? You know what I mean? Like, as Christians, you're like, well, it's sad he's gone, but hey, he's probably having a better time than us right now. But, you know, so he passed away last year, and that was a real loss to me because I just loved listening to his podcast. And it was his podcast that actually brought me back to God, because there was this real science element to what he was talking about. It was logical. I really learned about creation through him, and he introduced the science of it, and it really pulled me back in. And I credit him with me becoming a Christian again, although I became Christian by stealth. Like, it kind of just, God's a bit like that sometimes. It's not like you just sort of get whammied one day. You're like, I think I'm a Christian, I think, you know, and then you sort of sit there and you think, no, I really am. And that's sort of how my journey was. It was just this stealth move of God. And I realized he was pulling me back in a long time ago. I can remember I applied for a job back when I was still being rebellious. So I was in amongst all of the drama of partying and all the rest of it. I fell pregnant with my eldest son, Andrew. I then compounded the problem by marrying his father, thinking, you know, that's what a Christian girl should do. That did not go well. So then, again, wisdom lacking. We ended up divorced. And so here I was, 22 years old, single, divorced, living by a single mother, no formal education outside of finishing my grade 12, no car, no job. You know how people talk about hot messes? That was me, except not hot at all. It was a mess. At that time, I made a really good decision to go back to university. And at that time, I re-enrolled and I decided to do exercise science and education. So when Andrew was born, he was really the start of this journey. So isn't it beautiful that out of something that is, at the time, it was devastating. I was this unwed, young, pregnant girl who had to go and tell her parents that what I'd done, my sin was very evident. And there was all this shame and guilt, and God still took that and he turned it into, you know, my life. He turned it into my testimony. He made it, you know, my Phoenix moment. It just took 15 or 16 years to get there. That's okay. So I went back to uni, enrolled in the dual degree of exercise science and education, because I decided that as a mother, I didn't want to be working full-time with this little baby. Like, I needed to be working a job that enabled me to have school holidays, enabled me shorter work hours. I didn't want to have a child who I couldn't then care for myself. And prior to that, I wasn't enrolled in that qualification. It was just exercise science. So Andrew actually got me on the education pathway, and that's where I found my passion. I found my passion for teaching and sharing, and I realised that that was the gift that God had given me. Funnily enough, you know, this big personality, remember the thing that I hated to start off with? That was what God had given me. That was my gift and talent. So I'm back at university, very slowly moving away from being a total train wreck to less of a train wreck. And I applied for a job that was closed, and I thought, I would really like that job. It was teaching Certificate 3 and 4 in fitness. I thought, I can do that, no problems. But the job was closed. I thought, oh, well, I'll chuck a resume in and just see what happens. And as it turned out, the job was just around the corner from me, which is, you know, pretty important when you don't have a car. So I go to this, and they rang me up and they asked me to come in for an interview. Long story short, I ended up getting the job. And I was there for about a month when they started talking about how they were moving. And I'm thinking, where are you moving to? God is good. They moved to within walking distance of where I lived. So here I am with this job that was paying twice what I would get if I had taken on a casual job working retail or working in, you know, Coles or Woolies or things like that. So I was getting twice the amount of that. I was within walking distance and I was doing something that I was passionate about and I actually really loved. So, you know, God, even when we are sinning, even when we are rebellious, even when we are not doing, you know, what we're meant to be doing, he still loves us and he still draws us in. And I think that's a really important part of being a Christian, because I often still feel now when I stumble, when I do something, I'm like, oh, God's going to get me for that. And I've got this mindset that God's just waiting to punish me, waiting to get me. God knew I was going to do that back before time. He knew I was going to stumble and fall and do stupid things, and he still had my back. He still gave me that job. He still put me on this path, and he still loves me for whatever reason. Sometimes I just go, Lord, I don't get it. I really don't understand, but I am so thankful that you keep persisting with me. So from there, that sort of put me on the path to finish off my qualifications, I got really involved in the health and fitness industry as an exercise physiologist, and I then made that decision to go and study my nutrition. And that moved me into the PhD pathway, which I'll be starting next year. But what I really had to try and reconcile was that I had wasted all this time. And it was my mum who said to me about this scripture. And I think that that's a really important scripture for those of you who feel like you've done things or, you know, gone down the wrong path and you've wasted time, or perhaps you've been thinking, oh, I really wanted to go and study, or I really wanted to go and do this job, or I really wanted to go and travel, and I've missed my opportunity. You haven't missed your opportunity, and God promises that he can give that back to us. He can restore that to us. And for me, that restoration was really important. Earlier this year, I was really blessed in I work with a business coach. I don't know if anyone's heard of Wes Hone. He is a Christian businessman, and he helps other Christians in business. He's amazing. And I was at this conference, and I was blessed in having a lady who I'd never met prophesy over me. And I actually have the recording of the prophecy, and it's so incredible. And one of the things that she said, and Sally actually touched on this just before, where sometimes you just have to sit at the feet of God, and you have to say, I don't get it. I don't get it. It's not up to us to understand. Our job is to have faith. Our job is to believe that God is who he says he is. Because if God is not who he says he is, you know, there is no point. So God is who he says he is. We believe that. So when things go wrong, you just have to go, okay, God, I don't get it. That's not my job. But I know you're in control. And that was part of my prophecy, and we were going through some really, really difficult times. I was having some issues with the business. It's very frustrating being in business. Don't start a business. Well, no, do. It's really good. But, you know, if you want to be immensely frustrated, start a business. didn't really sell that to you. No, there's a lot of good stuff as well. But it also is immensely frustrating, and you are very vulnerable, and it's a scary place to be. But in this prophecy, the first thing she said to me, she said, God just loves your boisterous, energetic personality. She doesn't know me from a bar of soap. How does she know that about me? God is restoring my identity. Why is God restoring my identity? Because it is my identity that says who I am. I belong to Christ. I am an heir of God. And that makes Satan tremble. As Christians, we become so ineffectual, because we lose our identity. We forget who we are. And we get burdened down by life. And I understand that. This year, my sister was diagnosed with cancer. 4 days later, my mum got the formal diagnosis of Alzheimer's. And then the next day, my husband was made redundant. And then a day after that, we found out that my uncle over in England was likely to pass away. So we're just sitting there going, oh, right, okay, that's okay. And it was awful. Like, I'm not going to make light of it. It was terrible. My sister's cancer is, as we were told by the oncologist, is the cancer you want to get if you get cancer. I'm like, okay, right. Yeah, that was meant to make us feel better, I think, which it did. It's a very, very treatable cancer. My mum with the Alzheimer's. The PhD that I'm starting next year, I love God. Is called the brain training study, and it's all about the association of exercise in relation to Alzheimer's. That started in 2003, that path. You know, when you look back and you see God's hand in your life, Catherine and I meeting this year, or last year, when was it? Yeah, that's a bit confusing. We'll say last year, it sounds better. All right. Last year, you know, having her as a part of my group and the encouragement that she was to me, and just the feedback that she gave me about how she just continues to see Jesus in the program that I offer. Now, I don't know if you know much about the health and fitness industry. It's not very godlike. I have to be a little bit careful about who I follow and who I'm following when I open my social media, because if my children are beside me, they often are like, at me, and I'm like, I know. So it's a really interesting industry to be a part of, and so I have always wanted to be something different. I didn't want to be the same as anyone else, because I don't want to be the same as anyone else. Remember how I said at the beginning, my identity's in Christ. I'm set apart, and that's important to me. Now I appreciate it. Back then I hated it, but now I get it. You know, I want to be something different. We're meant to be salt and light. How do we be salt and light if we're just the same as everybody else? You know, we're called to be different. So it's just been so beautiful to see the hand of God on my life and to see the path that he has put me on, to have Catherine be a part of my program and to give me such beautiful feedback. And to know that, you know, not just for me, but for everybody, God has such a carefully laid out plan and purpose for our life. And he wants to reveal it to you. And oftentimes you think you're the captain of your own ship, but you're not. You're not. And you don't really want to be, because let me tell you, when I was, we kept crashing into things. And it was a wreck. So I'm so thankful for this opportunity. And I'm not going to lie, when I first thought about it, I was like, why would anyone want to listen to me? Or am I Christian enough? Or am I godly enough? And I was like, you know what, I'm just going to say yes and then let God work out the rest of it. So yes, we'll just see how we go. All right, so I just wanted to say thank you very much. And it's really important, like the whole, and I've never shared my testimony before, so this is the first. But what I have realized this year especially is that my identity was under attack from a very, very, very early age, because Satan recognized the power that I have in me and that you all have in you. And he wants to destroy that. And if he can destroy the relationship with God, then that's what he wants. And the best way to destroy the relationship you have with God is to make you an orphan. He wants to break your identity. He wants you to not think that you are a child of God, you are an heir of God. And he will do whatever he can to destroy that relationship. And he will do it by attacking any means possible. And that's what I'll be chatting about in the second part. Woo!
Thanks, Naomi. So through the program, Naomi shares, we do like stories where we just chat and encourage one another. And Naomi just sort of gives these testimonial little bits and pieces. You know, the part of the program is we've got to do our three daily tasks and we've got to do our quiet time. And there she is sitting with her Bible open, and she talks about what Jesus has spoken to her about. And she just makes it, it's just part of her life. It's what she breathes in and it's what she breathes out. And it's just for all of the people. And because it's internet or online based, all around the world, you know, the access is unlimited. And I just get so encouraged, because our church, we've always been on about the front line and being able to just minister to people in our everyday lives where we are. And when I found Naomi, I'm like, wow, she doesn't even come to our church and she does it like so well. You can just see Jesus in her, and I'm sure you saw that through the testimony. Well, guess what? It's afternoon tea time. Yay! just a few things about afternoon tea so we can make it sort of as orderly as possible.